Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello and welcome to Mind Your Loaf, a podcast about taking action on your mental health. I'm Jason Byrne, and Irish mental health charity TurnToMe.ie, who besides helping us with this podcast, provide professional mental health support online, free to everyone in Ireland. Hello and welcome to Ro McDermott on Mind Your Loaf. Thanks for joining us, Ro.
Thanks a million. It's nice to be here. Be here in virtual presence. Yeah,
be here in a kind of in a voiced way. Because we're still doing everything via Zoom, and we used to do this just across the table and stuff like that. But this is the new norm, isn't it? All of us just trying to operate this way. So just to say, Ro, now a lot of time when I do these intros or I ask a lot about the intros, at least 8 out of 10 people go, "No, I don't do that at all." So I'll give it a bash. Okay, Ro? Yeah. So what I have, Ro, is basically you're a sex and relationship expert. So you're an agony aunt for the Irish Times. I don't know if you like using that term or not. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're a film critic and art, and you do art as well, art critic, and you studied sexual studies, so sexuality studies. So is that all right? Is that everything that you do?
That's the main gigs, yeah. And I'm working on a book for my sins. But yeah, that's the main gig. So a mix of pop culture and academia and sexuality writing and a healthy dose of feminism in there as well.
So oh, that's, yes.
That's my gig.
Brilliant. So, but tell me, the agony aunt with the Irish Times, that is it mainly sex questions, you know what I mean, relationship expert stuff? Is that what you're getting normally? Is that the questions you're getting?
It's kind of evolved, to be honest, because I did it for two places before the Irish Times. I did it for a site called fanny.ie, which was a feminist website.
Oh, brilliant. What a name.
I know. It was the best name in the world. And just, it was all volunteer run, so wrapped up. But then I was doing it for the Dublin Inquirer for, I think, coming on 2 years. And the Dublin Inquirer, it was purely sex questions. And it was slightly more irreverent just in tone because the audience is a bit younger and a bit diverse. And then Rachel Collins is the magazine editor in the Irish Times. And she really liked what we're doing and was really passionate about the fact that Ireland needs to be more comfortable discussing sex. And because the programs in terms of sex education and education around healthy relationships is so lacking, like it's not formalized, it's not funded, and there's so much for adults to unlearn that we really need to start having those conversations. So she ended up to take me on in the Irish Times magazine, and since then we've done a lot of sex. It's people really respond to the relationships questions. So we're doing a mix of them now, which I think is really important actually. Like I studied sexuality studies. I did a master's degree in it in San Francisco, and it's really important to me. But I also think people writing them in about relationship questions are exposing the fact that young people and teenagers aren't given a roadmap for what a healthy relationship looks like. And they're not given a roadmap for how to deal with problems in relationships or how to deal with their own boundaries and feeling like their boundaries are being violated and communicating through that. And so we're all learning about sex and relationships primarily through like pop culture, and those messages are really damaging because a lot of pop culture is based on the idea of like, oh, on again, off again relationships are the best because you must love each other, and intense relationships are the best because passion is all about dramatic fighting and getting back together. And there's no discussion of like consent when it comes to representation of sexuality. So kids and teenagers are learning those messages, and then they're getting to adulthood and we're going, well, why don't you understand consent perfectly? And why aren't your relationships perfect? And why can't you communicate through them? Because we haven't taught them. So I think it's about getting those messages out there in an accessible way. So yeah, the column is now a mix of sex and relationships.
So here, what's a common question you'd be asked like in the paper there? That's a bit of a broad question, but like, would there be a common one that you're asked?
I think it's really funny. I think just writing an advice column for as long as I've done it now, because with the other two outlets as well, I've been doing it for years. And it's so funny because once you answer a question on a particular topic, you immediately get an influx of kind of the same question because people are like, oh, we're allowed to ask this. That's interesting. So during coronavirus, I think what's interesting is the themes have been quite repetitive in that people are thinking about old exes or like the ones who got away.
Jesus.
And there's this idea. And we've had one about an affair during lockdown and how they're managing that. And I think it's interesting because it's all to do with projection, because during lockdown, people are bored and their usual support systems aren't there, their usual distractions aren't there. And even if they're living with a partner, just life is hard right now and it's stressful and people aren't connecting in the same way. So they're thinking of times when they were happier or how they could be happier or feel more fulfilled. And they're projecting that desire onto like an old flame or someone they fancy. And
during an actual relationship, so during their marriage even, or any kind of relationship, they're thinking, would this be brought about because they're spending more time with each other than ever before? So now they're seeing everything. Yeah. They're seeing everything about each other. So they would have gone to work or gone out to their mates or gone somewhere else. And then they couldn't go anywhere. And now they're just looking at each other like 100%, which is never good for anyone.
No, like human beings weren't built to be around one person 24 hours a day. And it's that they're around each other all the time, but also the time they're spending, like it's not like we're not having as much fun. There's less to do. There's less like stimulating things. Everyone is stressed. And so instead of just saying this is a global pandemic, we're not going to be like the best possible version of ourselves right now. They're thinking, I'm really bored and stressed. It must be my partner's fault. And so I'm like thinking about that ex or the one that got away or the person in work I've always had a crush on. I bet you I'd be having like the most sex I've ever had during lockdown with them or the most fun. And what's interesting is I think whenever we get a message or a question like that, that's it about projection. Mm. Projection is often about the refusal to engage. What's going on for you in the moment and here and now and how you're feeling and what you could do about it. And it's basically like often a refusal to do the work. And it's a refusal to think about what you want and what would be fulfilling for you. Because projection and going, oh, I bet you everything would be amazing with someone else, it's just assuming that someone else will magically solve all your problems.
So
instead of saying, I'm with this person, it's hard, let's work through it.
So is that like the what ifs? Do you know what I mean? A lot of people do the what ifs. And I used to be I do that nearly with everything in my life. Now I am, just to give you my background, I am separated and I live, I have two children, but I live on my own here in this, you can't see it right now, but this is my brilliant bedroom. But
that's what I do. I get insights into people's bedrooms.
Yes, exactly. Well done. what's very hard is people say in your relationship, like you need to live in the day that you're living in the now, and don't worry about the future, like, you know, forecasting and then, and the what ifs, which I said earlier, which is, oh my God, what if I left him or I left her and I could have, oh my God, and I had this fella or this girl, oh my God, that'd be brilliant. Oh yeah. And it's kind of fantasizing, isn't it, with those what ifs?
Yeah, and I think that's like, I think, look, thinking about the future is important and thinking about what you want from life is important, and you need to, your values need to align with your partner and you need to have like a similar vision or problems are going to arise. But I think when people get into trouble is thinking like, just if I was in a relationship with someone else, everything would be perfect. Instead of going, what I feel is missing is I feel like healthy communication is missing, or I want more excitement. And how can I make sure I bring that to every relationship I'm going in? And how can I make sure that I communicate those values with whatever partner I'm with, instead of just assuming someone will solve them? So I think that's, And I mean, it's a very understandable thing. We're in lockdown. We're all wishing we could be doing other things, and that projection is natural. But that's something that's coming up in the column a lot lately. I think another one that's comes up a lot is that's really important. And again, I think is a huge issue with what happens when we turn to pop culture and films and TV for our image of like an ideal relationship, is believing that liking someone is the most important thing and that that will fix every problem, even when they're not very nice to you or when they don't treat you very well. Yeah. And we get a lot of questions in saying like, I'm crazy about this person, but they disappear from me on weeks on end and then they come back and it's amazing when we're together, but you know, I don't know if they want to be together. And you know, sometimes they put me down a lot, but I really like them. And you're saying like, that belief that liking someone is the most important thing, it will never be. It's how they treat you and it's how you feel when you're around them. And I think, again, so many films and TV shows say like, oh, as long as you're like in this whirlwind romance and you're so attracted to each other, you can overcome anything. You can't. The person you're with has to treat you well and has to treat you in the way you want to be treated. And we often mistake any kind of intense feeling for love or for passion, but you can feel intensely insecure. You can feel intensely anxious around someone. You can feel like unstable in a relationship. And often we can do that with passion. But something I've written a lot about is like, I've been in abusive relationships, and in abusive relationships, there's a thing called trauma bonding. And it's basically when an abusive person lavishes you with attention and then takes it away or treats you really badly. And basically your brain starts releasing stress hormones, and it's almost like an addiction because you get addicted to the positive attention. And then you go through withdrawal when they take that attention away. And so you feel like you need them. And I think,
You get stuck in a type of pattern then.
Yeah, absolutely. And because you're feeling everything so intensely, when someone is just nice to you all the time, it kind of feels boring. And you're like, well, I don't feel as passionately about this other person.
Is that treat them mean, keep them keen?
Yeah. And it's really damaging though. Yeah. And I think to like, not even in an abusive relationship, but just in relationships where someone's being flaky or they're not committing or they're not particularly nice to you, we can confuse those feelings of anxiety and feeling like, I need them so much. And when they're not with me, I feel anxious and I miss them. We confuse that with love. But that's the thing. But liking someone isn't enough. They have to treat you well.
What I'm hearing as a man is that that's mainly women talking to you that way. Is that right? Or are you getting men a little bit?
The majority of people who write into advice columns are women generally. I'm delighted. Well, like, we do get some men writing in. I'm always delighted when they do, because I think it's just socially harder for a man to turn around and go, I want advice in a relationship, or I'm going to write in and to articulate that. So it's always wonderful when men write in. I would get more questions from women. And I think we do normalize this idea that like men are the pursuers in relationships, so they can initiate the contact, and women feel like, oh, I can't be too forward, and all these really regressive damaging ideas. So I think it's more common for women to go like, oh, I'll wait for him to call, and I don't want to be needy, and I don't want to tell him I need more attention, because we equate women setting boundaries and saying, this is how I want to be treated, with being needy and being clingy. And again, it's one of those really damaging stereotypes. Like, again, we'll blame fatal attraction for that one. You know, like, if you say to a guy, I want you to call me, they're like, oh, bunny boiler.
But it is very different now. I mean, look, when I have kids, I've got a 20-year-old and a 13-year-old. So brilliant ages for a relationship And when I tell them how I grew up, right, they go, oh, Jesus, right? But I think that because I didn't have the pop culture and the social media when I was a kid, when you were with somebody, there was a kind of a gradual, you know, build on a relationship. So there was no kind of meet them, sleep with them, go, meet them, sleep with them, go. It was like you had to talk to them, walk with them, meet them again. Walk
crazy
a bit more.
Idea. Yeah, I know. They'll never catch on.
Yeah. So it was a much slower way of doing it. And then, when you did get to any kind of sex right like that, it was really exciting. And for a man, just as much as a woman. But like, it's tough on kids now because it feels like it's faster. It has to be faster. Do you know what I mean? It's just,
well, I think that's what's really interesting, is that we have this idea, and I go, like, I've dealt with students and I go into schools and I give workshops on consent and sexuality and healthy relationships, and I get a lot of pushback, and a lot of parents and a lot of organizations have this thing of, like, you know, there's no need to talk to kids about sex and consent so early, why would you do that? So first of all, when I talk to kids about consent, you can talk about consent to a three-year-old in a non-sexual framework. So yeah, you can say, no, you don't have to hug your auntie if you don't want to hug. Like, you get to say no, you get to decide what happens to your body. You can also say, ask your friends if you want to hug them, or ask them if they prefer a high five. And so you're giving them the language of consent in a way that's just about bodies and isn't about sex. And once you continue those messages going up, it's much easier for them then to grapple with the idea of sexual consent. So it can be completely age appropriate. But when I'm talking about healthy relationships, like, I get a lot.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pushback from older people, and I'm saying, but the messages that they're getting from pop culture are so damaging, and so many studies have proven that when kids and teenagers get sex education and get education around healthy relationships, they actually wait longer to have sex because they're more able to say, why would I have sex with you now? What would that give me? Is this good for our relationship? I'm actually able to say no. I'm able to evaluate if this is right for me right now. And look, I'm sex positive. Like, I don't think sex is inherently a negative thing. So if people have sex, like, when they're 17 versus 18, if it's good for them, it's good. But I think that idea of having more education actually helps you make more informed choices. And that should ultimately be the goal for everybody.
I mean, is sex education in schools right now something that the way they teach it, is, do you agree with that now? Or
no.
Okay. Because as far as I can see, they're still doing the kind of ABC, this is what happens, there you go, thanks very much, goodbye. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think there's a huge amount of things missing. I think the discussions around consent are really unnuanced, and they're really unrealistic in a lot of ways, and they give the bare basics, but they don't teach teenagers how to deal with situations where maybe one of them wants to have sex with the other, or they're in a relationship or whatever. And phrases like, if one person says, like, oh, like, I want to have sex, but, or like, maybe not now, that's a no.
Yeah,
like, and they need to appreciate that nuance.
Yeah, and I fear, especially for the guys, because, you know, with everything that's happening right now, you know, they're just, they are actually terrified as well to maybe consent to sex, even if the girl is saying yes in a very clear way. Now the guys are going, oh my God, I don't know if this is right, or what do I do? Like, I mean, how the hell will they know? I mean, is there a time limit on it for them? Should they be in a relationship for a good few months before it happens? You know, one night stands can happen with them, but like, there's so, I mean, everybody's different, aren't they, Ro? You know, everybody's different.
Yeah, and like, I will say, like, I think the women are terrified for different reasons.
Oh, no, the women are terrified. No, I know are as well. Sorry. Women are terrified as well, but, you know, the teenage
But I think that's real.
The teenage boys just don't speak as much as the girls, I think. That's probably it.
And I think that's real. And I think that's a huge problem I have with people who think that these conversations around consent and healthy relationships should be like opt out, that the parents get to say, like, no, of course my kid would never do something. I think that's inappropriate. But when you make consent an opt in or opt out conversation, you're endangering everybody, because you might understand consent then, but then the person that you want to have sex with mightn't. Yeah. And so someone's going to end up getting hurt. And I think these conversations need to be nuanced. Like, consent, I always say to teenagers, is enthusiastic, so you must be like actively saying, yes, I absolutely want that. It's ongoing, so you're saying, like, can I touch you here, would this feel good for you? And it's a constant conversation. It's not a, do you want to have sex, yes, okay, then anything goes.
Gotcha.
It's a, would this feel good, would you like to move on to this activity, are you comfortable taking this, like, you know, to penetrative sex?
Yeah, so straight. That's a great idea. So encouraging just to talk it through as they move on.
Talking it through, and it's freely given, which I also think is really important and overlooked a lot, because you have to be enthusiastic about saying yes. You can't be scared to say no. And I think that's where people get into a lot of trouble. People aren't aware of, like, women are socialized not to, like, set boundaries clearly, and are socialized to be polite and people pleasing. So a lot of the times, if women are uncomfortable, they'll still be like, you know, they'll kind of dance around it and be like, I don't want to reject you outright. So, like, no, I'm not really, like, but maybe we could do something else. And that we have to pay attention to that hesitancy and understand that they might be feeling under pressure, and just take a step back and go, look, you're not comfortable, let's not do anything now, let's chill out, and we'll come back to you when you're more comfortable.
And another thing, which is quite like a basic thing, is just human feeling, like how the body is feel. Just like, yeah, as a guy, if you're going, this doesn't feel great, or she's kind of saying the same thing, then just don't. It's just, it's almost like, yeah, it's that old cop-on word, you know, it's just like, there's a bit of cop-on between the human chemical feeling between the two of you. You'll know it's not right. You'll know.
And I think a huge thing that's missing from sex education at the moment as well is they don't talk about women's pleasure at all. So it's very centered on men getting pleasure and women not. So, but that means that, like, men don't get taught how to check in if their partner is female, saying, like, does this feel good for you? What would feel good for you? And instead they kind of go, okay, well, this is what I've seen in pop culture, this is what I've seen in porn, I'll just do it. It feels good for me, then it doesn't matter. And I will say another problem, just in terms of, because we're talking about men and women, most sex ed doesn't cater to LGBTQ kids at all. So they don't get any education in terms of, these are the sex acts that you might enjoy, that, you know, it mightn't be all about penetrative sex, but it might be about oral sex. It might be about different sexual activities. Here's how you deal with that. Here's how you consent to these things. Here's protection for these things. And so when you exclude so many people from these conversations, and you don't even acknowledge the possibility of LGBTQ relationships and sex, you're also leaving a huge proportion of people who are already vulnerable to stigma, who are already vulnerable of being ostracized. You're not giving them any healthy relationship frameworks to work within. So you're leaving an already vulnerable population of kids even more vulnerable. So I think there needs to be a huge systemic overhaul of how we teach this.
And here's the thing, right, which sounds kind of like silly, but very common, is, like, what does LGBTQ stand for?
Okay.
Because so, you'll have kids listen to this, and parents that hear that quite a lot, and then they don't know what it means.
So it's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer. And queer is kind of an umbrella term, so it can include people who are bisexual, it might be pansexual, so they it might include curious or fluid. And so it's a kind of an umbrella term, or people who are gender nonconforming, maybe. So it's just recognizing that a lot of the times when we talk about sex ed, we're only talking about men who have sex with women. Yeah. And we're not talking about the other possibilities. And even our definition of the word sex often refers to, like, penetrative sex between a man and a woman. And so if you're constantly using that definition, you're overlooking the fact that, like, oral sex might be really important to people in a relationship, and we need to talk about consent there, and we need to talk about protection there. And we often present, kind of, again, penetrative sex between men and women as the ultimate goal, and everything else is kind of the stuff you have to get through, and it's not important. But a lot of that stuff is far more pleasurable for women, for example, or it's really important and people enjoy it more. And by kind of pushing that stuff to the side, you're saying it doesn't matter, it's not as big a deal. And so people might overlook getting consent for those acts, or making sure that they're paying attention to their partner's pleasure. And that's really important, because I think if people are having sex and it's not enjoyable, and what they enjoy the most is not being as important, then they're not learning how to value their own bodies and their own desires, and they're not learning how to set boundaries and go, actually, this is what I'm more comfortable with, and I'm not comfortable with that. So I think needs to start early.
Yeah, because like a gay boy who hasn't maybe even, you know, met another gay boy or man, yes, probably just thinks, oh, it's two men, so it's probably okay. There's no need for consent because it's two lads. It's
like, or protection, and there's not discussions about that, or not discussion around what consent would look like between if we constantly phrase consent conversations of like, men, you have to be really careful in case she turns around and says she didn't want it. But like, what does that conversation look like when you're talking about two gay boys who haven't had the same kind of pop culture examples? Mm. What does a healthy relationship look like when they haven't grown up in a family where they have, like, you know, two parents of the same gender? They're not getting as much examples, so you really have to include them in the conversations.
I know, it's really irritating that schools are still not really recognizing that there's a big mixture in that classroom. Well, there always was a big mixture in the classroom, but now all the kids know, you know what I mean? And it's just not fair, is it not?
You
know,
and it's literally just saying, I care about you and your pleasure and your boundaries and your consent as much as any other kid. And I want you to feel as important and as safe as possible. And safety and empowerment are the two main themes here, that you want that for everybody. And you're not just picking and choosing who gets this education and who gets to feel valid.
And with the LGBT area, and I've done a lot of, I was a judge with Michelle Visage.
The dream.
I know she and she flies this flag all the time. But like, with parents listening in, if their child comes to them and talks about transgender or gay or lesbian, like I wouldn't really know where to go or who to talk to or where to send them, or you know, because you wouldn't be ringing the school because the school wouldn't know where to go or where to send them or what to do.
Yeah, so I think the most important thing is to remember, like, this is still your child. They haven't changed as a person, but their desire or their identity mightn't be something that you have expected from them. And the only reason that we expect certain things is that we've normalized this idea that, like, straight is normal and anything else is different. No, straight is common. And everything else is completely normal. It's just less common, but completely as valid. And so for parents, I think it's about saying, I love you. Like, usually for a lot of parents and teenagers, like, their dating life, you want to make sure they're safe and empowered, but you usually don't get all the details anyway.
No.
So saying, this is your life. I want you to be safe. I want you to be empowered. I love you as much as I ever did. And I think it's important for parents, if they're uncomfortable, to say, I might be clumsy about this for a while, but I'm going to try and I want to keep this conversation going, and let's have conversations about what you need and how you feel supported. I will do work on my own, I will research, and there's great groups like Tenny is a really great organization that supports trans people and has a lot of resources for people whose kids think that they might be trans or who are trans. There's a lot of LGBTQ resources online, and just kind of information to give you, and there are online support groups for parents who are dealing with this, because I know a lot of parents, again, they weren't taught what to say if their kid comes out to them and says, I'm gay or I'm bi. They weren't taught what to say if their kid says, I'm trans, and I need to start referring to me by another name or using different pronouns. And that's okay. Like, your learning curve starts where it starts, but I think as long as you're committed to the process and say, I love you. If I'm clumsy, that is a reflection of my learning curve and not anything to do with you or how much I love you or how much I validate you. That's important. So I think you can start where you are, but start with as much empathy and compassion and love as you possibly can. And there are myriad resources online. You can Google LGBTQ resources for parents. Tenny is a superb one in Ireland. And also, I think listening to other people, like expanding your social circle, so you're hearing a lot of conversations from LGBTQ people. You're hearing about their experiences. You're hearing what helped them. And also, so your brain isn't catastrophizing this. Like, being gay, being bi, being lesbian, being trans, being queer, these are all fine. People go on. The stigma is still there, unfortunately, but much less than it was. They're going to have beautiful, healthy relationships. You just have to be there for them and say, I want to help you feel as great as possible, and I love you as much as I ever did.
Yeah, it's all about the love, support, and that as a parent, you don't think that your child has changed at all. You know, still your Terry, still your Michelle.
Thank you, Roe McDermott, the relationships and sexuality expert and agony aunt with the Irish Times. She was brilliant. She was taught, that was great advice about love under lockdown and the what ifs and what's a healthy relationship and not healthy and sex and consent in relationships with kids and teenagers and adults, and amazing, amazing stuff there. And of course, the support you can give to your LGBTQ child or friend. Lots of empathy and compassion and love for that. Anyway, that was Roe McDermott. Thanks a million, Roe. We'll talk to you again soon.
You've been listening to myself, Jason Byrne, and this has been Mind Your Loaf. If you like this episode, please subscribe and tell your friends. And don't forget, if you or somebody you know is going through a tough time, there is professional mental health support online, from counselling to support groups, all available for free to anyone from Ireland at turntome.ie. And mind your loaves, everybody. Turn to Me provides professional mental health support.
Jason. Oh. Do your, you know, your ad voice.
Oh, yeah, I'll do the ad. Yeah. Okay, I'll do a proper ad thing. Okay, ready? Yeah. As a registered charity, Turn to Me provides professional mental health support online for anyone in Ireland going through a tough time. From one-to-one counselling to group and peer support, Turn to Me is accessible from any device anywhere in Ireland. If you would like to support Turn to Me, you can donate €4 by texting Turn to Me to 50300. Text costs €4. Turn to Me will receive a minimum of €3.60. Service provider like charity. Helpline 076-680-5278.
Is that you?
Yeah, that was actually me. Okay. There.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.